You.
Could be waiting now.
Okay, shall we try again? That better?
Yeah.
Okay. So, a little bit of confusion because I think today's title is The Way, but the verses are from I'm the vine and you are the branches. So, 15. So, it'll all come together in the end, I'm sure. Do you know what? Normally, I'm working on a talk all week and I'm thinking about it. And I said to Jonathan yesterday morning, I'm really struggling with this one. It's not often these words come out of my mouth. I need your help.
Don't blame me for what's coming next.
So last night, a friend was having a little get-together for her 40th birthday, and she'd invited me. And I said to Jonathan, I'll be back about 7, loads of time. So what time did you phone me? About 9 o'clock?
Yes.
Where are you? I said, I'm just waiting for the cake and then I'm coming home. So I explained to the girls that I was doing the talk the next day and Jonathan was going to help me. That Jonathan was doing the singing. And one of the girls said, well, why don't you swap? I said, yeah, there's just one problem with that. I am absolutely tone deaf and the building would be cleared before anything else happened. In fact, I remember, I don't know if you remember this, when we were at Bible College in the chapel service, and Chris Simpson and I never sit next to each other because we are equally tone deaf and it really does sound quite special. So I tend to either sing very quietly or not at all. I just mime. So Jonathan said, why aren't you singing? I said, well, I don't want to put people off. And he said, oh no, you sing as loud as you like. I'll drown you out. It's not a problem. And that must be, I don't know, 42 years ago. And he's still been drowning me out for 42 years. So, do you want to do your stuff, Steve? Okay. So, because I'm a teacher, it's got to be interactive, okay? So, to start with, whilst we're on holiday, Nick sends me an email saying, Karen, would you mind speaking and doing the conclusion to the Jesus Masterclass? Fine, yeah, no problem, okay? Then I think, ooh, it's not as easy as I thought it was going to be. So, we've got a few scriptures here that I'm going to be using, and obviously, I'm going to need your help, because, you know, interaction is always good and it stops you falling asleep. But first of all, the thing I want to say is this is, for lots of people, it's a very familiar passage. Is that okay? Are you all right with that one? So I've chosen the message to read it from just because it slightly says it in a different way. Sometimes it brings things to life in a different way. So you'll excuse me for using it, but I do have a reason, if you see what I mean. So we're going to start with John 15, 1-8. If you've got a Bible and it's a different version, please feel free to read it in your version. So, Jesus said, I am the real vine, and my Father is the farmer. He cuts off every branch of me that doesn't bear grapes, and every branch that is grape-bearing, he prunes back so it will bear even more. You're already pruned back by the message I have spoken. Live in me, make your home in me, just as I do in you. In the same way, that branch cannot bear grapes by itself, but only being joined to the vine. You can't bear fruit unless you're joined with me. I am the vine and you are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation is intimate and organic. The harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up and thrown on the bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home in me and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. And we're going to start with that. So I bought a visual aid. Recognise it? This is out of my garden. We don't have a good relationship, me and this vine.
You planted it in the shade.
I planted it in the shade. Guess what?
No grapes
at all. So I fell out with it a couple of years ago. And it just grows and it grows and it grows. I mean, it's quite prolific, really. This is just one little bit of it. And I thought, do you know what? Whilst I go and cut some, I'm just going to have a little look, see if I can see anything that resembles fruit. Nothing. I'm going to talk a little bit about what I'm going to do with it later. So, what Jesus says here, when he's uses this illustration, he's talking about us and whether we bear fruit or not. Okay? So the first thing I want to draw attention to, really, is this idea of bearing fruit. Because I thought, well, okay, we know that a grapevine bears fruit and that fruit is a grape. But when he's talking about us, what does that mean? Okay? Does it mean what we do? Does it mean who we are? Or does it mean both? What do you think?
Both.
You think both?
Yeah.
Okay. So when we talk about fruit in terms of what we do, what does that actually look like? What does that mean? Serving. Okay, what else?
Grace.
Okay. So we've got grace. I think what you were saying there is obedience. Anybody else want to chuck anything in the mix?
Action.
Listening.
Yep, at the back.
Helping others.
Okay. Praise.
Action.
You see, you're all already bringing in what we talked about, aren't you?
What I talked about.
Yeah. Pardon?
Prayer.
Okay. Sorry, Dylan.
Following. Sharing.
Evangelizing. Does sharing go with evangelizing, sort of thing?
No, I think both.
Okay. We'll put sharing, and if I put in then the gospel.
Stewardship. Patience.
I'm running out of room here, people. Right, we'll stop there. I'm sure you've got loads. Okay. Put your hand up if you do all that all the time. Oh, that's good to know. I thought I was the only one. Okay, next one. If we're talking about fruit, if we're talking about that being about who we are, I don't know whether this one's a bit harder. What does that look like for us?
Patience.
Okay, so we're going with patience again.
Holy.
Repentance.
Kindness.
Kindness,
loving,
joy,
self-control,
caring, You're finding this one easier. Self-control, forgiveness, thankfulness.
More like Jesus. Transformation.
Oh, that's a long word. Transformation. And like Jesus and a child of God. I can't spell that one, so I'm not putting it on. But I'll give it you.
Keep going.
Keep going. Thank you. Okay, same question. Put your hand up if you like that all the time. Okay, so what Jesus is saying is this is where he would, with him together, this is where we aim towards. Would that be fair enough?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just going to think about one. When Jesus started talking about this, some of the words that really struck me from this particular message version. I am the vine, you are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation is intimate and organic. So that intimate relationship supports all of this, doesn't it? And I like that word organic because it's almost an individual word. Because although Jesus' love for each of us is the same, because it's enormous, his relationship with us is an individual relationship because he's created us as individuals. So how he might need to work in the life of one person won't be the same as how he might need to work in the life of another person. So it's organic. And you know what? For that to work, there has to be a trust that Jesus knows what he's doing. And that's, again, easier said than done, isn't it? Okay, this pruning bit. Okay, so I remember, Dylan, you probably don't remember this. I remember coming to your house and I'm assuming you've still got the vine on the... and you said you need to cut it back every year. Yeah? So I enjoyed doing that. I cut it back, and every year it grows profusely without the fruit. So this idea of pruning is twofold, because you've got this the absolutely cutting out of everything that's infected or of no use. But also, and this is true of a lot of plants, including fig trees, that if you cut back enough, then you get more fruit. So we've also, Jonathan's got a fig tree in our garden, and there are lots of little figs.
This year has been a bad year.
And sometimes it's about cutting back so that you get more fruit. More branches does not necessarily mean more fruit. So I'm thinking, I'm not getting any fruit out of that. He's looking at me. I'm thinking, it's time to go.
No, they're getting dug into Luke 13.
Then I thought, no, I'll give it another year and I'll try to be nicer to it. But pruning happens in our lives. Jesus is very, very clear on that. It's not my relationship with that, whereas sometimes I'll look at it and think I need to do something with it, and then I look at it and think, oh, I give up. Jesus's relationship with us is that bit needs pruning. I need to develop that bit, so I'm going to prune a little bit here so that it grows more fruit. But I get my secateurs out and I can chop that back. But for Jesus to be able to do that in our lives, that vine doesn't need to do anything. But where it comes to him pruning in our lives, that's organic and relational, isn't it? It doesn't just happen because Jesus looks at us and thinks, we need to work on that bit together. It's that relational thing together. Does that make sense? Okay. So it's that intimate, organic, relational aspect of pruning that can have most impact on our lives. And that's where, when I said I found this one really hard, that's where I began to feel a bit, oh dear, this is hard. Because the problem with when you give a talk is it makes you look at yourself. Because you can't be a hypocrite and stand at the front and tell everybody else how they need to be. You've got to look at yourself first. So I found that quite difficult. Okay. And then, this is the next bit that I found difficult. Moving on from that, it says, separated, you can't produce a thing. Separated, you can't produce a thing. So if you haven't got that relationship, that intimate, organic relationship, you're not going to produce anything. It's like that. Couldn't care two hoots about that vine all summer. Didn't do the right things at all, nothing. Intimate, organic, relational. Okay, and then it says, but if you make yourselves at home with me. Do you know when you're at home with somebody, when you feel comfortable with them, you open yourself up a bit, don't you? You share things that you might not share with a stranger. And what Jesus is saying is, when you make yourselves at home with him, and his words are at home with you, listen to this bit. You can be sure whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. Listened to and acted upon. And this is where Jonathan and I had a conversation in terms of level of expectation. And then I'm going to read something that Jonathan posted on Facebook. You probably all read it. I don't really look at his Facebook, so I have to have a quick look. And I'm just going to read it so that it makes sense. Many people profess to follow Christ, yet they live as though they are atheists. I thought that's a bit harsh. They are functional atheists. When they pray, they do not expect or need God to answer. Usually, they do not have needs to pray for. They are Christians, yet they are so self-sufficient that they do not need help from God. They live out their faith as though everything depends on them. Their intelligence, their credit cards, their work ethic, technology, etc. Many do not have space to receive from God, even if God forces a gift on them. Wow. And actually, again, do you know what? There's some truth to that, isn't there? You know, we live in a society where I have a job, I have a home, I could, this sounds quite weird, I could be fairly self-sufficient from God. So therefore, it has to be a choice that we are not self-sufficient from God. And things like the NHS, social care, lots of things that we have in this country make it easier to be supported by other things than God. Whereas if you go to a third world country, the only thing many of those people have is God. Yeah. God, that's a challenge. Do I want all those things taken away? Real challenge. You can see why I found this a tad difficult. Okay. I said to Steve, I'm not going to be long, because this isn't about me telling you how you should live your life. That's between you making yourself at home with God and his word being at home with you. All I'm going to do now is share where I went with this for me, but it's up to you to work out your own salvation. I'm not here to tell you how to do it. I'm just here to share how I felt this scripture spoke to me and pull out some things for you. So, for me, our relationship with God should be intimate and organic. He should be at home with us. We should be at home with him. His word should very much be a part of our lives. And I'm going to put my hand up and say, in mine, it's not. You know how some people say, I let my head rule my heart, or I let my heart rule my head? As a Christian, he gives us intelligence, but he also gives us love. So I think our head and our heart should work together. We work things out with God. If we open ourselves up to that pruning, it's a conversation, you know? Isaiah, God in Isaiah says, let us argue the case together. You know, tell me what you think. There's a member of the congregation who, over the last few weeks, came to me and said, I'm sick of God speaking to me. I'm finding this really hard and I can't do it. I can't do what God is asking me of me. I can't do it. And getting really upset. I don't want to come to church anymore because I'm sick of God speaking to me to ask him to do something I can't do. Wow. Honesty. I said, just tell God that. Ask him to help you. That's what the Holy Spirit's for. And as you do that, you'll get to the point where you can. But be honest with God. Don't hide. Be at home with him. Let his Holy Spirit work with you to get you to that point. Head and heart work together. Okay, so God's interested in who we are and what we do. Okay, so there's both. And we've got this wonderful project, but it's also about who we are as well. What we do in all of the different buildings, how we are socially with other people. But it's who we are as well as what we do. We are relational. And God has made us relational beings. And then I'm sorry, God challenged me with this. I'm chucking out because, you know, I like to share. So my role in school is I'm the special needs coordinator. And I meet with teachers to set goals for the special needs children on an individual basis. And what I say about those goals is, are they realistic and achievable? Because they're set for a term. And you know, it's a mantra. Are those goals realistic and achievable? And you know what I've worked out? Came as a bit of a light bulb moment. I think I've almost transferred that into my expectations of what God can do. Am I realistic in asking that of God? Do I really believe that that's achievable? Because if not, I'm not going to ask. So what is our expectations? High expectations of God, as opposed to of us and of our own resources. Yes. And it's that. Which camp are we in? So all of the masterclasses that we've had over a number of weeks have given us lots of information. But in the end, what Jesus is saying to us is, I am the vine, You are the branches. How much are you going to allow me to work with your branches, so to speak, to do that pruning that needs to be done? And how much are you going to allow me to be at home with you and my words to be at home with you? Let's pray. And I think sometimes, you know, we go away and we've heard a talk and all that kind of stuff. But all of this is about our relational stuff, isn't it? It's about who we are in Jesus and how much we allow him to be part of us. So it's about asking it's about you in your relationship asking God to do what you need him to do, that personal pruning in your life. Okay, let's pray together. Jesus, I want to thank you because you're a much better gardener than I am. That you love every single one of us in a way that actually we have no idea how much that is. Because it's immeasurable. You love us in a way that says, do you know what? I want to help. I want to help you. Father, please allow us to let Jesus in, to let his Holy Spirit come alongside us and work in us. Stop us being self-sufficient Christians. Help us to believe that you listen to us and that you want to act upon what we say and what we ask for. Father, speak to us individually and stir us where you need to stir us. Comfort us where we need that comfort. Challenge us where we need that challenge. But most of all, help us to recognize that you are a good, good Father. And Jesus, that you are a gardener that only wants us to bear the best fruit we can. In your name, Jesus. Amen.